I used to have
to. Used to be down here, moving in that direction.
That's right.
That could be dangerous.
A lot of sliding one over.
Do what that means, though.
Right? It's your turn. We're live.
You're live.
We're live. Okay, great.
Hello, gentlemen.
Okay, I would like to open the Kituit Board of Water Commissioners public meeting. Today is Wednesday, June 19th. It's 5:30 p.m. All three commissioners are here, Robinson, Horsley, and Hoppenstedt. And Jen is here taking care of Chris's business because he's off doing some family things. Yeah. So that's good. So anybody recording other than us? No? Okay. Thank you. So we'll start with the agenda with a public comment. And we do have one email from Cindy Gardner that she wanted to make sure we were all aware of. And I'll just read that into the record just because she asked us to. So she was asking that we review all buildings and properties within the village to make sure if they are using water, they are metered. She thinks it would be valuable information to know how much water is being used at all public and private properties. And I think Jen has indicated that they are all metered.
So, they are.
So that's good. So with that, is there any other public comment?
My name is Manny Roderick, Roderick Construction Company. I don't know if Chris made you aware of what was going on, why I would be here today. He said he was going to reach out to some of you and tell you what was kind of going on. During the bid opening the other day, Wednesday, I wasn't there, but a representative of our company was there. And when the bids were read out loud, our price was $99,000 or whatever it was. And Bortolotti's price was lower. But his price was $78,000. If you want the accurate number, I can give it to you. Yeah.
I think we have it.
Do you? $78,966.14. That was read out loud. That was sealed bid was given to the water superintendent. After the bids were read out loud, the secretary did the math and was wrong. Bortolotti's prices were wrong. The way we feel, Roger Construction, I talked to my brother and my father, we feel that if he put it, he had plenty of opportunities to check his numbers. Just like we do, we double check our numbers, we triple check our numbers before we submit any bid. Once it's sealed, once it's submitted, that's what it is. And when they checked the numbers, his numbers were wrong, and it actually came out to $76,566.14. Now, if you put in a bid that is wrong, I feel, and so does the representatives of our company, feel that's an invalid bid. And it, being an invalid bid, we feel it should be rejected. One of our first contracts ever was in 1981, and it was Kituit Water. We've been doing this for years and years and years. We've bid against several other companies, and I've never seen this before. But I don't know what your contention is on it, but we contend, we think the bid should be tossed. You know, you just can't, after the fact, start writing in. And I know you wrote it in. You didn't realize what was going on. But these are official bid documents. They can't be altered in any way. When I submitted my bid to the Board of Water Commissioners. And it has to go to you. And you see what's going on. Then you change the numbers or whatever you want to do. But it was submitted to the Board of Water Commissioners. So now it's right here on the bid sheet where it was crossed out and numbers were added in, which is really, I wouldn't say it's illegal, but it's highly improper. So, and I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus. I'm not trying to cast aspersions or anything. I'm just, this is what we feel.
So, Mr. Chairman, just so I understand what's going on here, so there were two bids for these sideline connections. Mr. Roderick, representing company number two, and Bortolotti, company number one. Bortolotti submitted a bid that was
inaccurate.
The math totaled $400 less than what they had submitted, and it was changed. Is that what?
It was $400 more than what they submitted.
More, but still way under the other bid. So Jen, it sounds like you and Chris have contacted the water department's attorney. Did we report on that?
We did, yes. So we did do the bid opening on Monday. Chris opened and read the bids and then asked me to verify the math on them. So I put them in that comparison spreadsheet that you see and realized that there was a mathematical error in company ones, and not realizing that it would make the bid invalid, I did write in the corrected numbers. So Chris did reach out to Mark Boudreau yesterday. And as you can see, there's an email in your packet from Mark with his recommendation that although it says in the invitation for bids that the Board of Water Commissioners reserves the right to accept or reject any and all bids and take the action they deem to be in the best interest of the fire district, Mark does recommend that we rebid the project. So this is our annual bid for service to the sidelines and emergency repair.
So, Mr. Chairman, this is a major contract with the district department.
Correct.
Seems like we should get it right.
I'm sorry. What was his recommendation again?
He recommended that we go back out to bid.
Well,
and to be fair to you, I understand your position, but we have to look out for the best interest of the district, and if the district is in any way put into a position where there might be legal action taken against the district, we're just going to defer and put it back out to bid.
Well, I feel that we put in a proper bid. We look at our numbers,
do that again.
And we see what we need to make to, I mean, prevailing wage is killing us. I mean, we pay these guys a lot of money. So we put in numbers that we feel that we can pay our guys and still turn somewhat of a profit on doing these numbers. And we don't try to manipulate these bids. And I feel that this bid was trying to be manipulated. I don't think it was just an error. I believe it was, he did it on purpose. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you a story, what happened about 3 years ago. The same individual came in, and when the bids were read open, they read ours first. And I can't remember the numbers offhand, but I just say it was $60,000. Okay, he reached, the individual reached over to my brother. He was the one that was at the bid opening. He shook his hand and said, "Congratulations, you won." So my brother didn't know anything because Bortolotti's bid hadn't been read yet. When they read his bid, it was $58,000. And he goes, "Oh, I did get it." Well, he knew he got it because he was the one that submitted the bid. He's the estimator. You know, so my brother left, and I was told this by the individuals from the water department. When my brother walked out the door, he was like, "Did you see his face? I got his ass." That's unprofessional. That's unprofessional, you know. And Chris reached out to my brother after that and called my brother, and he said, "Steve, I apologize for what happened, but it will never happen again." And the reason why, I'll read this first, because you guys have never acted like that, and we won't have this again. And he was very embarrassed. He was embarrassed with himself, and he was embarrassed with my brother. So I think what he was doing was looking at my prices from last year, figuring out probably put the same price in, so he was bracketing my price. If for some reason I go up, he gets the higher bid. He gets the $78,000 something. But if I came in at $77,082, like I was last year, then he would have said, "Well, I made a mistake. I didn't, it's just $76,000. You know what I mean? So I think it was done purposely. You know, we don't play with the bids. We put a bid in what we think we can make a few dollars after we pay our guys. We're not trying to get rich. You know, you see these contracts. This contract is not like a $400,000 contract, you know. But I just feel that we put the proper bid in. If his has to get tossed, his has to get tossed. If you have 10 bidders, what are you going to do? Every time somebody makes a mistake, put it out to bid? You know, can't do that. You know, that's what I feel anyway, but I'd like to hear what you have to say.
Mr. Chairman, we don't have 10 bids. We have 2 bids. It seems that the whole purpose of bidding is to have a competitive process so that it's not a sole source bid and that, you know, we're looking for best price and best quality work for the district. I'm not an expert in the bidding process, but I'd certainly feel more comfortable having this rebid. Past history is irrelevant to me. What's happening now is the scope of work. Bids came in. The department's attorney is recommending a rebid, and I recommend that that's what we do when we get to that point in the agenda.
I would agree with that. Seems like a reasonable approach. Certainly understand this gentleman's position, but it's got to be a fair process, and I would recommend following
you've had experience
the attorney's
in the process.
I have quite a bit, yeah.
Any insights?
Well, I mean, I think you know, I think this gentleman's points are somewhat valid in that everybody has an equal chance to put in a bid, but I think the overriding point here, where there's a pending lawsuit, the attorney's advising to go back out to bid, and the fact that there are only 2 bids submitted, it seems to me both firms will have a chance to rebid competitively. Anybody, it would be open bids. So
could be more bids.
Right, could be open right. To others. So it seems like that's fair, and I would go along with your recommendation.
Yeah, I think that's what we need to do just because of
the legal counsel. I understand what you're saying. The attorney is advising that, but
yeah.
I mean, we're getting ourselves into a problem here. I mean, every time there's, you know, the next guy comes in and says the same thing, oh, I made a mistake here, starts crossing stuff out on a bid opening. Can't do that. You know what I mean? You just
right.
Can't do that. You know?
Right.
Once it's submitted, it's submitted. That's how I feel. It's, you know, I think it was a fair process. The first time was fair. It was a fair process. If he screwed his bid up for whatever reason, intentional or not, that's on him.
Yeah, and I don't know that they will rebid. They might not. Right? But I think we have to defer to the council's recommendation on this, just because it's really not our bailiwick in terms of our expertise.
Okay.
But I do appreciate the comments.
All right.
You make a good point.
Okay. Thank you for your time. Appreciate
it.
Thank you.
First official business for this fiscal year, almost fiscal year. All right, and no other public here, so I doubt there's any public comment. So we'll take a look at the minutes. And those are attached. I did talk to Chris about the bidding problem. And that's the way he was leaning to. The attorney said to go ahead and go through the bid process.
Do we usually get more than 2? No? It's always
no.
The same? So.
Yeah.
I think we need to get it out there more somehow.
Yeah, we put it in the legal notices of the Times. We put it on the Central Register and Combis, which are the 2 state sites we need to put it on. I'm open to guidance on where else to put it. But yeah, those are the 2 that we normally get.
It seems like there's other guys that should be bidding on.
So is it legal to send it directly to firms in that business?
I don't think so.
You don't think it's legal?
I don't know, but I can check.
I mean, as long as it's legally noticed elsewhere.
You got to be careful because somebody else can say, well, come here and send it to me.
Right.
Okay.
But Chris did mention a timeline of having the next open bid due again the $2,400 difference.
$2,400.
And in Chris's follow-up discussion with Borilotti, when he got back to the office, he called and said, oh, that line that says $300 was supposed to have said $500. So his intent really was for that to be $500 and the higher price, not $300 and the lower price.
If I understand this correctly, this gentleman who came in, their bid was 99 grand, right?
29.
So even regardless of the error, Borilotti was still...
Yeah, but his point is that they made a mistake.
Yeah, so math mistake, throw it out. That's his point. But if I mean, I think if Bertolotti, if they had come in, Bertolotti had been, let's say, 74, or 70, the higher one, 79, and then these guys came in at 76, and then they changed it, that would be problematic.
Absolutely.
But the change, the math change, doesn't affect who was the lower bid. So it just seems to be overly too much of a penalty, I think, to out the bid because it's a math error. I don't think there was any intent to try to change the numbers to win the project, right?
And if it's rebid, they each have knowledge
right.
Of
the other's price.
Yeah, so and they know what the numbers are, so actually it would be better for the district. Hopefully they'll come in even lower.
And they had that comparison sheet from the last bid process. They both had it.
Yeah.
So they knew
makes
each
sense.
Other had bid the last time.
It's the same work each year.
We change, so if you look at that, the bid package, we change, you know, maybe the quantities or the
units
or whatever,
right.
So that it's different calculations that they put in their price for each of the services.
No, and they're both very competitive. So they're working out of the same village.
So I looked at the minutes, Mr. Chairman. I recommend approval of the May 15th, 2019 minutes. Particularly Mr. Commissioner Campbell's comments that we had pleasure working with us.
Always a different color.
Right.
It throws me off.
Yeah. So the three pages for your
thank you. How's the new truck?
The new truck is good. That's my superintendent's update.
Okay.
Send a letter to Senator Sear about the PFAS study task force endorsing it as we had voted. I shouldn't be signing that. You should be signing it. I just did it as an expeditious thing.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good job.
Thank you.
Good delegating skills.
Yeah.
It should be the chair if it was, you know, for something really important.
Good to me as well. Second motion to approve. All in favor?
Aye.
I'll abstain. Okay. Thank you.
see we have some warrants here to look over and sign.
We have one from the current fiscal year and two from the current fiscal year and one from the next fiscal year.
Satisfied, you can sign here.
Yep.
Tom signs there. No one
there. Yeah, I went over this with Jen at the office briefly. I kind of got the idea. I think I'm able to log on now, although I haven't done that. And I'll try to get a little more proactive about that, but I understand the process.
These different than the ones we already did electronically?
Yes. So you have an AP warrant and an overtime warrant for May in the current fiscal year, and then you have the payroll and the on-call warrant in the next fiscal year for the increase.
Jen, just so I understand, the flow rate, $3,000, what is that for? Air compressor, is that for blowing out the lines?
No. Well, there is an air compressor for the trucks and for the line matching facility, but I believe they did work on all of the hydraulics at all the stations. The invoice should be the first one attached on the back if you want to take a look.
So I don't remember seeing these.
Payroll worksheet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after the end of the month, Lisa, or after the last payroll of the month, Lisa sends that to me so I know exactly what we paid for overtime so that I can input it in our spreadsheet and create your financials.
And the longevity was just a...
That was an error. It should have been on call. So in this last pay period, she reversed the longevity and put it back under on call, but it doesn't affect any tax.
I just look at the bill here. Any idea what the annual charge is? $700?
Per station.
What is it?
Per station, I believe.
Per station.
Yep, the annual maintenance on the Parco pumps.
I see.
District and alerted about this new family medical leave with the tax withdrawal law. It's supposed to kick in July 1st, but now it's October 1st. It affects all private businesses. I don't know about public.
I have no idea.
Yeah. I believe he did bring it up at the Prudential Committee meeting.
Who he?
He, the treasurer. Sorry. I have not listened to that recording yet. I'm not sure if it's posted, but I believe he did bring it up at the either April or May Prudential Committee meeting, saying it was supposed to be funded, I believe, July 1st, and he was aware of it as of March 1st.
They postponed it for 3 months because everybody's panicking about what it's all about.
It's a paid family medical leave.
Right. So the state wants to collect money from every employee and or employer. There's some discretion for smaller groups. I think it's less than 25. Does the district have more than 25?
I think it was less than 5 employees.
5?
Yeah.
Okay.
And benefits wouldn't be paid out until 2020.
But I think there's a decision to be made, at least for my little group. Is the employer going to contribute to this or put it all on the employee? So each of my groups are grappling with it and coming up with different decisions. Mm-hmm. Generosity or not. So
so is that something we're going to have to do?
Well, it's something that the district has to determine. Is the district going to contribute to that, or is it going to be all in the backs of the employees? I think it's 3/4 of 1% of salary gets deducted and then builds up this pot at the state. In 2021, if you get very sick, and I had an employee out 6 months with Lyme disease one time,
theoretically, that state fund would fund their salary, obviously. And also if the family members.
There's been no announcement to the district employees that I know of.
Is it a mandate?
Yeah. But I'm just not sure how it affects public employees.
Yeah.
Which, because there may already be something in their contracts about.
We don't have contracts.
Well, I guess my suggestion is that our crack staff ask the treasurer's office, do the commissioners have to get involved with this? Or is it going to be handled by Prudential?
Well,
certainly it wasn't part of the budget as I saw it.
It would not be our responsibility.
Well, they might ask us for a comment. I mean, I think it's fair for the employer to pay something.
I do too.
So that's.
Yeah. But I think it's going to be a Prudential committee.
Yeah.
As well, obviously.
But we could have input. Right?
Sure.
So maybe we could put in minutes that recommend that the district pay a portion of the mandate, so it's not all on the backs of the employees. The Prudential Committee figure out what's fair.
And where would that money come from if the district's going to pay it? Come from rates?
To be determined.
Yeah.
But
it could be a sizable.
Be part of employee benefits.
Sizable amount of money. Everybody has to pay. Okay? 0.75%.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like much, but it adds up.
No.
So that's my motion.
Second.
Okay.
Put in the minutes and transmit that information.
You
said, Mark, you're saying a portion.
Yeah, and I don't know.
I'll leave that up to the Prudential.
Yeah, it's like sliding scale. So.
Okay.
Just recommend that they take a look at supporting the employees with some district funds to help with that mandate.
Yep. Can we have a vote on that?
Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Don't say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Good. Do we move to approve the warrants?
No.
So I had two warrants. I thought there were three.
There are three. He's got two now. Okay.
All right, we don't need to do that.
No problem.
That was perfect.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I could deal with moving it. That was a good game. So just FYI on the fiscal year 2020 first payroll. The email attached supports the calculations of it. And it's not a 52-week fiscal year. It's 52 weeks and 2 days.
Okay.
So we had to divide all the annual salaries by 2,096 hours instead of 2,080 hours so that the annual salary is annualized appropriately over all of the pay days.
Leap year.
No leap year.
Oh, that's good. Good catch.
And I got sign off from the treasurer's office on those calculations. So we're good to go this year.
So we're all friendly.
Yeah.
All right, three warrants. Minutes done. Water quality report.
And I don't have anything to report on that. All of the tests have been non-detect, which is good. Basic bacteria tests this month only. We're getting ready for the lead and copper testing, which will take place in July. My plan has been approved by MassDEP. I've got all my 20 candidates and 10 alternates in case somebody is not available at the last minute. And Town of Barnstable hosted a meeting with all of the superintendents / assistant superintendents the other day on PFAS and PFOA and how to go about testing and the lab. And not having been there, I can't give any firsthand feedback from that, but I know that all of the departments cumulatively are working on that.
All
of the water departments in the Barnstable district are working on that.
That's good. So, question on that, Mr. Chair. I thought at one of the hearings that I attended, there was some discussion about doing some PFAS testing in the future. What is the plan for that? Is there a schedule? Or?
So we at one of our past meetings, I don't think it was the May meeting, I think it may have been the April meeting, but it could have been May. Recently, anyways, we said that we definitely wanted to pursue testing and getting a baseline for those compounds as soon as we can. Okay. And Chris has been working on that.
He has, yeah. He received a communication from DEP about that. With all of the regulations and requirements involved in testing, like you can't write on the bottles with a Sharpie, you have to use real ice, not ice packs, you can't wear rubber-soled boots. There's like a lot of things you have to do. And I believe the Barnstable Water Department actually hired an engineering firm to do it. So I think Chris might be looking at that as well.
And do we have that in our budget this year?
We will, yes.
Okay.
We have some additional engineering funds if we need it.
How do you choose who gets tested for, is it lead and copper?
So, yes, lead and copper. There are houses whose water service was installed between 82 and 86 with...
people who have those lead collars.
Yeah. Or the use lead in the soldering material. They can't have any filtration system. We're running out of houses to be able to check. So because people are replacing their plumbing, the houses are getting older, they're replacing their plumbing. We're replacing the lead goosenecks. But yeah, they have lead and or copper pipes or soldering material. And then there's like a tier one, a tier two, a tier three. And we have to test 20 tier ones as well as the school. And the school called to advise us that they are closing June 29th.
They are?
They are. So we will likely not be able to test the school this summer or next fall when they open. So we'll be in contact with Mass DEP about that.
Open as what?
Right. Maybe. Waldorf School will no longer be in there. Right.
So their contract is up and it's not being renewed.
Correct.
It already looks preceding off there.
Yeah.
I'll bet. Yeah. It is. Okay. And no bacteria. That's
no
great.
Bacteria.
With all the rain.
Yeah.
I think Eagle Pond is the highest I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Eagle Pond is what?
The highest I've ever seen.
It is pretty high, yeah.
And you've been around a long time.
Oh, shut up.
Anything else, Mark Pauly?
No.
Superintendent's report, the lean list review.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, the superintendent's report for May of 2019. In May of 2019, we pumped 16,986,000 gallons. In May of 2018, it was 16,522,000. So this year is 464,000 more than last year. Your comparison chart in there. There were no service replacements, no new services. The truck will be going to Doring in Rhode Island tomorrow for work on the hydraulics, the idler for the hydraulics.
Okay.
Ask me what that is.
And that's the new truck.
That's the new Lime truck. So there's about $7,000 left in the appropriation. You can see on the bottom of your financials. That will pay for this work on the idler for the hydraulics. And they also are, not tomorrow, but they are also going to paint the cage They need a few days to do that, and right now we can't have the lime truck out of service for that. So JR will be taking that truck down tomorrow morning with a cup of coffee and a magazine and wait for it to be done.
To Rhode Island?
To Rhode Island.
Is that where the truck was bought?
Yep. Well, that's where the equipment company that installed the tank and the pump and all of that did that. Tower North, as you know, is at a standstill until the Osprey nest leaves the new pole. So the good news to that is we're still collecting double rent, and it should all of the rents should escalate anywhere between 3% and 5% for the next fiscal year. So I think there's some of them have a 3% escalator, some have a 4.
So you know the new cell tower. There's only one company up on the tower now. There's two others down still in the temporary office. You can see from Main Street. And theoretically, they'll all be going up at some point, maybe this fall. And we'll get less revenue, but we'll be able to restore that acre on Main Street. With some planting and some
Maybe we can repurpose some of that unanticipated revenue.
So they're going to take everything away, right? Those concrete slabs for the tie-downs and everything. It's all going to be clean.
Tower North is going to do that?
I don't know. Who's doing it? The company's
I don't know.
They're not going to leave those concrete pads or anything, I hope.
Some of that might be from the old tower, right? Those are from just from the
No, those are just like anchors.
Just for the antennas.
For the temporary antennas? Oh, yeah, that'll have to be.
And then I know Chris was talking about triggering out the gates so that we have better blockage for vehicles. And it's kind of random. It's random right now.
You know? I was out there several times in the last month, and people just ride by on motorcycles and four-wheelers.
You've seen them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, get on yours and, get on yours and chase them.
I don't have them.
That's the problem.
Catch them.
And can you take a picture with your cell phone? I tried to do that.
They're just
too fast.
I don't know. Almost nothing. I haven't seen anybody going fast doing anything dangerous. I think motorized equipment out there is a concern.
It is. You know, the way to get the word out is the catch one of them and have them tell his friends. You know, you remember when the town bought ATVs to patrol, and of course nothing ever came of that. It's a waste of money.
Yeah. So last year we started working on the northern property line, having it surveyed. I don't know where we are on that. That's been completely done, and if the landowners along that northern edge, if we talk to them at all.
Yep, we had one.
We should walk the line. That's what we should do.
We had one landowner that had.
Right in and contact anybody. We should go out and take a view.
Walk the line and maybe then have a community meeting with those folks.
Or at least.
It's the butters. The butters meeting.
Education. It's absolutely true that some people don't know where the bounds are. Mm-hmm. Some people know and deliberately abuse it. It's not just there, it's everywhere on the campus.
GHD. So
but now that we know where the bounds are, there's less excuse for the ignorance. So.
Is it flagged?
Some of them. I haven't worked the entire thing, so.
I don't know either. I know they advised us of one abutter who was encroaching on our land. We did notify them. Chris said he went out and checked, and the stuff has been moved.
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody has a private property sign. No trespassing.
Mm-hmm. On our land.
On our land,
yeah.
It's a buffer zone. DMZ.
But I think having worked with private landowners before on natural resource issues, it was always beneficial to get them involved and to do that educational piece.
Just even to walk out.
Know what our concerns are and why we're. I will be in what we are in terms of saying, you guys help us with your eyes and your ears and let
walking out with them, showing them, there's the bound, there's a bound, there's your stuff over. Please stop dumping over. Pull the trailer back. It's just what you do with any neighbor. But next winter I'm going to get back into my management planning. I promised I would do as a volunteer. And I did some. I did get something this winter. I can't get out there in the summer, though. It's too hot, too buggy, and I'm too busy.
Okay.
So that's my excuse.
Good.
Last two things on the update are the security system update. So there's still about $350,000 left in that account. Sean and Chris went to GHD's office in Hyannis for a conference call yesterday with the group in New York, and they're going to start first week of August at Station 3, installing the new SCADA system and getting that online, and move forward from there, from 2 and 4 and then 5.
Do they have a timeline on when they get Chris out of there?
That's all the information I have on that topic at this time.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, the double-sided Excel spreadsheet that you have.
Yes.
Is the current list of accounts that are more than 365 days past due. We started with 58 accounts. I've got it down to 39 by making some friendly phone calls and scaring people to come in. So my next step will be to send the certified letters, and as I mentioned last meeting, my intention is to only send one certified letter this time to reduce our postage cost and the hardship for the administrative office and preparing a check for postage at the last minute. Mm-hmm. But I've cut it down to a pretty reasonable amount, and a couple of people on here have promised me they'll be in, which remains to be seen.
Is this list typical? You're seeing more or less?
There. So if you look to the right-hand column and you see anything with a map and parcel number in it, those were the people that we submitted last year. So there are some
repeat offenders.
Some wait till the very last minute. Some have sent me a couple of payments.
This says lien list. How many of these actually have had liens placed? The ones with the map parcel numbers?
Were placed in prior years.
So an actual lien was placed.
Correct.
But these other ones on the list?
These are the people that are more than 365 days past due. We'll finalize the list. I have to send the final list after your meeting in August to the town for it to be placed on the October tax bill.
So then the lien would get placed then?
Correct.
There is not a lien currently on these people. The other ones? The
new ones.
The new ones, right. Okay.
There could be from prior years, but...
Okay, yeah.
And then we don't see if these get collected, that money gets remitted to the treasurer through the town tax collector, the water department doesn't necessarily see that come back, but the town treasurer, I mean the district treasurer.
Okay. And at that point, the lien is removed?
Basically, they collected
it
as part of their taxes.
Just paid it in their taxes.
Yeah.
It's released, yeah.
And I'm more strongly wording my letter this year, Mark.
With the new rates, we should expect to see a lot more people on this list next year.
Oh, you think?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
People just won't pay their bill.
They'll be like, well, I'm not paying.
Well, no, but it's because it's going to be a bigger bill.
Yeah.
I mean, these are small amounts.
But twice a year, so maybe breaking it up over two billing periods may make a difference, but I'm not holding my breath.
Mm-hmm. Is it like how 30...
Last year we started with 86 or so, and we submitted, I think, 16 or 17, not many.
It's less than 20.
Yeah, and so this year I started with 56, so we were at a better 58. We were at a better starting point. 56, and now I've got 38 left.
Are you going to go over this sheet or is there any questions there?
I can, sure. So this is your financial package that will be in your packet every month. Grab my copy. The cover sheet is all of the revenue and receipts from the various types of revenue sources. Water is the minimum use bill, the basic use sorry, the minimum use for, right now it's $36 for 20,000 gallons, and you'll see some odd change in there because sometimes their bill is $36 and they send me $30.60, and I have to code it to the right account, so it's not always even money.
Excuse me, $36 for what?
Right now it's $36 for the first 20,000 gallons.
Over, well, for the year or?
In the water usage year, yeah. And again, that's all changing.
If you use less than $20,000 of water in a year, you'll pay $36 under our old rates.
$1.80 per thousand.
So that's sort of the minimum use, the 20,000.
Mm-hmm.
54 gallons per day. 55 gallons per day.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty low. Mm-hmm. So beyond that, the rates go up. That's the new rate structure, right? Significantly.
And they go up now, too, but the excess.
Yeah,
right.
The excess, right.
So the excess is anything over that first 20,000 gallons that we bill at an escalated rate.
The reason I'm asking is I'm interested in, to try to figure out how much of the supply is going to irrigation estimate versus other uses. Have you ever tried to figure that out?
So at the end of the water usage year, I run a usage report that breaks down by account number all of the usage, so 10,000 gallons or 1 million gallons. We figure 40,000 gallons a year per person in a house. So a house for two would be maybe 80,000 gallons, three would be 120. When you see it getting up more than 160 or more than 200,000 gallons, we start to assume that it's for irrigation. I do have a field in the database where I capture if they've told me they have an irrigation system, so I could run a report from that, but it wouldn't be complete data.
I'm just the number that I've always used, the state recommends 65 gallons per day per capita as sort of a standard as
per day.
Per day. And that includes 15% outdoor water usage, I believe. I think it does. So indoor would be more like 50 gallons per day per person. So if I take 50 times 365, that's 18,000 gallons. You said what, 20?
20,000.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Pretty close, yeah.
So is that, so the 20,000 gallons per household is what this minimum charge is?
Correct.
That's not per person, obviously. I'm charging per person.
Correct.
So does that mean that, so it sounds like our minimum charge is, the amount of water that's allotted for that is less than, significantly less than, what would be considered sort of a minimal use for a family of 2.5 people. Probably average occupancy rate. Right? Just trying to figure out how, I guess the other question, where did the 20,000 per household come from? How did, who, what's the rationale for picking that number for the minimum rate, you know?
The way we've always done
it. It was decided before I got here. No, I don't
Has
know.
Has it been that way for a long time?
It used to be 40,000 was the minimum,
yeah.
And it was $72. So basically they cut it in half because we had quite a few residents that, you know,
part-time
single or not even necessarily part-time, but widowed residents in the district
right.
that weren't
oh,
even using
yeah.
20,000, but they were paying for 40,000.
Oh, so that's a flat charge.
Yeah.
Whether they use it or not.
Whether they use it
okay.
or not.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Use it or lose it.
And okay.
Didn't you just say that 20,000 was 55 gallons a day?
65 gallons per capita per day is the recommended.
It's a mistake, but I thought you said it was 55.
Well, I was thinking backing out outdoor water usage.
Yeah.
Which
so it could be that that's where that number came from, that they figured
yeah.
out 55
yeah.
gallons a day.
So there's a national statistic. 70% of water is irrigation water.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's right for the cable. I don't think it could be that high. Yeah.
No. I don't think so.
Because in Arizona it would be, but
yeah. From the seasons are longer and drier.
My sense is the number in the cape is probably 15 or 20% annually. but in the summer, it's probably closer to 50%
irrigation.
Yeah. And where I'm going with this is my interest in what's going on in the Little River, which I'd like to look at over time. Getting off the point here a little bit, but if during the summer pumping, if we're drawing down the river and 50% of the pumping is going in lawn irrigation, I think it's something we should be aware of and discuss as a policy issue.
Yeah, I think the next year is going to be interesting to see how the demand
because of
water
pricing
goes down.
Yeah, yeah.
As people get their bills and realize, I got to start conserving a little bit here. It will be interesting.
It will be interesting.
These numbers in particular are going to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the law of economics. But it's going to take them a while to figure it out.
Yeah.
They get their bills.
Right. Because the excess bill doesn't come until December.
The first one, right? Although they're going up in July this year to close out.
On the current rate.
Correct.
You're going to talk about your billing, right? Your mail out, the new one, July. Yeah, you're going to talk about that later.
Sure.
Do you have a sense that that pumpage during the summer is drawing down the river's level?
Yeah, there's a USGS has done a model in this area. It's very obvious up at the Conwell Field and the Marcy's Mills River.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've been doing work with the Clean Water Coalition, and we've been measuring weekly measurements. And on the Marcy's Mills River, it looks like they're pumping more than half of the flow of the river during the summer. Because there's a station on River Road that has, I think it flows around 5 or 6 million gallons per day.
Mm-hmm.
You go downstream less than a mile, and it goes down to 2 or 3 million gallons per day. And this is supposed to be a gaining stream, growing, going into it. So that water is disappearing over the stretch of a half mile. Now that's calm. They're pumping more than we are. But but USGS did a model of that area that shows this big drawdown rate to the river. And that same model does show a little depression on Little River. It's not, the study wasn't done specific to Little River, but it sort of suggests and
mm-hmm.
just the orientation of the wells close to the river and the fact that the river is pretty low flow.
It sure is.
My guess is, which is why I was talking maybe about a student research project or something, I think there's an impact there that hasn't been looked at.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm here, I'd like to consider it. I think it's appropriate.
Yeah.
And it's complicated, but there is some indication that there's a problem there. And I think the pricing structure is good. I mean, my sense, as I said the other evening here, that we should really put a premium price on people that want to use water for that purpose. And also, I think we should encourage them to get their own irrigation wells on site, which has, I think, a much better benefit. The problem with making that statement, it kind of works against our revenues.
It does, and then it also works against a conservation effort, because now they can pump as much as they want.
On site, locally.
Yeah.
Right.
I've seen Little River where there's no water in it at the old mill crossing by the power lines. It's just completely dry.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You can walk down
by the power
stream.
And then it gains.
And I've also walked in the stream in hip boots at the little boardwalk, Bell Farm. And there's 2 feet of silt when you hit the hard bottom.
Yeah.
And then you might see 3 or 4 inches of water on top of the silt.
Yeah.
But there's actually a lot of water in there. It's just captured in the silt, so you don't see.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mean to get us off track, but something
no,
I think
good.
Would be interesting to look at going
Absolutely.
Forward. And it would be interesting to look at how the water rate structure.
But don't you think that it makes sense that if somebody is up at 100,000 gallons a year, they couldn't possibly be dishwashing all of that. That's
of course.
Got to be.
Oh, yeah. Huge amount of
energy. So those people up in that strata are going to be paying a lot more per gallon. So in a sense, you are taxing irrigation much higher than consumption.
I think that's
so we'll see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's to me, the pricing is the conservation way to
Right.
The other point that I brought up, I'll just tack on here now, if I may, and that is that I did speak with Seth at the COOP, and he's concerned about the new rates because he's getting hit as a larger water user, but he's not wasting the water, in my opinion, on irrigation. He's providing food and services. And so I'm a little concerned that...
We can calculate it. You can look at his record for last year.
I suggest
I did that. He called me and I did.
I suggest that he contact you.
Yep.
Good. Okay.
So he knows how much more to expect.
Correct.
But I guess what my point here is, my concern is, I think a higher price on irrigation is appropriate, but I'm not sure a higher price on the businesses doing food service is necessarily appropriate. I think that, to me, they're different. We're trying to, from a policy standpoint, we're trying to discourage people from irrigating, but I'm not sure we're trying to discourage from a local business from providing food and
washing their dishes.
Right. And that's a concern, I think. So maybe down the line, consider that either, I don't know if you can do abatements or however you best handle that. But I agree, the first step is to find out what his projection is. But did he have a reaction to it already? Or?
I'm trying to remember. He wasn't extremely shocked by it, but he did say that he had spoken to you and that.
Okay.
Well, we have other establishments that are
going to the village. Yeah, and I understand.
So I think we need a year's worth of experience before we start figuring out abatements. And I do think, we did talk about hardship, financial hardship, and we didn't adopt any policy on that. I thought it made sense to tie it to people that have hardship exemptions with the town, real estate taxes, and there are different things.
Yes.
Seniors and circuit breakers. And
right.
I don't know what all the categories are. And kids with meal vouchers in the schools, whatever it is. So that we're not coming up with our own hardship. Yeah, I don't think we need to rush into that. I think we should wait a year and then just see what experience we have. We may find that we've done such a good job getting the word out that people will start using less water and not having to pay so much. But, and then the other thing is, Scott, is that, Seth should understand that the district tax is supposed to go down as an offset. So you have to look at both of them. And while we can't project or guarantee that the district tax is going to go down, that's what common sense would say. Because you're not supporting the water department with the taxes so much.
And you can guarantee that the taxes will not be supporting the water department.
You can guarantee that.
That
would be 17%.
10%. My other comment on that is Seth does not own the building, so he won't see the relief of the tax rate going down. But he also doesn't see the, he's making money on the food or the sales there and paying rent to the person that does own the building. So the person that owns the building will get leaned if the bill isn't paid, so they should be paying the water bill out of their rent revenue as a cost of doing business.
Save a little river and the St. George River.
Good discussions, and I think, like you say, we're gonna see how it all shakes out within the next few months.
It's gonna be fun next year
when we start to see the pumpage rates.
I mean, we've
compared to past years, that should give us a good sense before even a year passes of how that rate increase is gonna.
Just that guy coming to the Conservation Commission complaining about the drawdown on the St. George River.
Yeah.
He was playing the role of bad irrigation, but I don't know if that was proven. Mm. What's the big new clearing there across from the stables?
It's got to be attached to Willowland.
Yeah.
It's still high.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
It's huge. Probably an expansion area.
Yeah.
So to just jump through the rest of it quickly, on and off, so the fees for seasonal turn-ons and offs. Other is meter reading fees, repairs, anything that doesn't fall into like a water use category. Penalties are just that, the past due, one time 10% of the most recent bill, if not paid. Service connections is basically, it's almost a pass-through because sometimes we have to pay Porta Lotti back out, or but that's for materials and the inspection and the connection fee and all of that. Capital improvement is the old, it's also called basic use, and that was the old bylaw that was on the books, $600 per connection for any house built after 1973 that didn't pay for the original infrastructure. Antenna revenue is pretty self-explanatory. CVEC is credits that we get for our electrical use because we're getting some of it from solar. And then that's your that's our total revenue for the year. And then what is currently outstanding under accounts receivable. And if you, just as a point of interest, if you take a look at the next page, which is all of our expenditures, our operating and maintenance and salary budget for the year was $644,000, and our revenue to date is $688,000. So we more than covered our operating and maintenance budget for fiscal year 19. But again, as we learned through the cost study discussion, that doesn't include employee benefits and insurance and everything else that they included in the study. So second page is the expenditures, where we are to date against what we have budgeted. I think I put, did I put a third page on yours? I had a third page that had what Chris is anticipating for expenses in the next couple of weeks. You know, we've got all the June bills that haven't come in yet, lawn care, telephone, electricity, gas, all of the stuff, some meters that he's purchased, and he's working on whittling away what would be left over. And again, just another point of reference, that subtotal of $60,621.74 of unspent expense also doesn't include, we have to take the $15,500 USDA reserve out of that. So it's actually $45,000, and then he's accounted for probably another $17,000 worth of stuff that comes out before he figures what he may be able to include this year instead of next year, and make some decisions about what he can spend at the end of the fiscal year.
Pump.
So he did notify Ray, as you get to the bottom part, the special appropriations, the $2,200 that's left in the cost of service study, that will be, we're waiting for the final bill and final report from Tata and Howard on the cost of service study, and we know that there's an overrun there, but he's figured that into what he's looking has left to spend. The security system, I believe we are done with, and that will get, that will come off the books, but I'll double check that. The $30,000, he did notify Ray that he has some pump maintenance to be done and expects to expend that money. The security system, again, that's the SCADA project that we talked about earlier, and what's left on the Lime truck purchase. So
we're in good shape.
We're in good shape.
I had nothing to do with it.
That answer all your questions, Scott?
If you want to get the credit, you're going to take the blame, right?
I'll take the blame for that. Other questions?
No. Thanks for the report, John.
Did that explain everything you were looking for?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the lien list now, you've got the letters going out.
Yep, so now that you have reviewed it at this meeting,
yep.
I'll send out the certified letter saying the commissioners have reviewed the lien list.
You gotta pay your bills?
Yeah, and I will word it more strongly than last year. And that will be the one that goes certified mail.
Yep.
So you may see a...
What was it that I was suggesting that we...
You circled the minutes on there. I've got them in my...
Talked about specifically...
If you try and sell your house, I think was part of it.
No, people don't understand what that means. It's part of your title, and you go to sell your house, and your lawyer says, or the buyer's lawyer says, you pay that bill, I'm not buying your house.
Yeah.
It's just One more damn thing to talk about. Who's selling a house?
So then, as you asked, Mark, we will be reading meters the first week of July. The boys are out there. The men are out there now. I think of them as my kids. The men are out there now replacing any old-style meters that they can that don't have a radio reader on them. I think they're heading to your house, Scott. For your, you have a pit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're heading to your house as one of them. I think there's 21 pits and maybe 17 houses that still have an old-style meter with a handheld reader, or a probe reader. So they're trying to get those replaced what they can. The flushing program finished 2 weeks early, as JR did a phenomenal job with that. And so they're working on that these last 2 weeks to try and get as many of those replaced as they can, especially now that we're going to be reading twice a year. The first week of July, they'll go out and read. I'll issue the bills. We'll mail them as soon as I can in July, probably mid-July, once we get them printed and reviewed and stuffed. And Lou Jeans is going to print our little trifold brochure to go in with them. With the old, your annual estimated costs, the old rates, the new rates, which will, this will also be good for me to hand out when we do have new service connections and people asking what our rates are.
Good.
Yep.
You have a stack of those on your counter?
Not yet, but there will be. Lou Jeans, we just gave them the go-ahead. They actually came in cheaper than the engineer's printer.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Can you put it as a PDF on that page?
Sure can.
Stuff?
Yep.
And so I reviewed that with Jenna, Taylor, and Howard. It's got all the information. We can only read people to water. We can't understand. We have to do a little homework. But we're trying to get the information. Compare the old and the new rates. And then on the back, showing if you can figure out where. Fall, what tier you're in, you can estimate what your bill is going to be. So, you know, some of these are doubling. They're definitely going to double. Absolutely.
So is this going to be a mailer to everybody? Or?
So it'll go out with the final bill of the current rates.
Which will be July?
Yep.
So,
we're going to read them at the end of the fiscal year.
Has anything been put in the...
current.
Jim Danhauser's Civic Association.
Yeah.
In their newsletters or anything is sharing.
We requested it for June, but
there was an error,
it was deleted in error. So it will be in the July.
People need that. That seems like a pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be in the July.
People get interested. Yeah.
Is that good to everybody or just their members?
Just their members.
The Civic Association.
Well. No,
everybody.
I think you're right. I think it's every Kituit. You're right. I think it is because we get it at the water department, and I know we're not a member.
Yeah. And that might be a good vehicle for us to do outreach if you haven't before. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Seems like it.
I make a motion that the water department become a member of the Civic Association for $25 a year. It would be very useful to us.
All right.
Posted the forums.
And maybe if I amend the motion with a request to have periodic updates on things like the rates, which I'm sure you do anyways, but just
in the cards.
Yeah.
Publication.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to get it out.
Teresa reaches out every month.
So, yeah.
Do we have room in the budget to do that?
$25 under dues and memberships, we could probably make that happen.
We'll have to do that with the treasurer.
I just want to. I imagine that legally we can do that under dues and associations.
We should be able.
So move.
All in favor?
Aye.
As amended?
Sorry.
Aye.
Aye.
I will use the coupon on this month's newsletter.
Okay.
You brought up flushing, and I know we've had flushing problems, and we heard at district meeting of a gentleman who had a flushing issue, and there's been others since, particularly particularly out towards Old Post Road, and some folks, one woman in particular, who was quite upset because her kids couldn't get to school with a fresh shower because the water was muddy. Chris and I talked about that a little bit, and that's also something I think we need to turn up the dial on in terms of educating the public and let people know that, hey, just because you're not using a lot of water in your house, when you turn on your irrigation system and the two are married and you end up with some sediment in your pipes, you know,
it's related to
that's a problem.
Irrigation?
Yeah, it's related to use. So when you're using water in your house at the same time that we're flushing, you can get some of the backwash.
If you're at the ends of the system or anywhere?
I'm not sure.
Because I've never had a problem.
Depends on how the gates are opened and closed. And
well, we talked about, we do a good job of telling people when we're flushing. Maybe less so where, but we do a lousy job of what it means for
people. So what are people supposed to do? Not drink the water during flushing? Is that kind of because it might be?
I think you just want to minimize your use during the period of time when they're flushing your neighborhood.
The typical flushing duration in a neighborhood is what, a day or days or hours or what is it?
It's so we advertise that we're flushing from April 1st, or thereabouts, through June 30th, Monday through Friday from 9 to 4, and that locations will be posted daily.
Excuse me, in a location, how many, what are you talking about is for the whole system?
So that's the whole flushing program.
But how about in a neighborhood, one location, how long would that typically be?
It depends on how dirty the water is when they get there, how long it takes to clear. So usually they don't tell me till the night before where they're going to be the next
day.
Is
it like a day or less, typically? I'm just trying to imagine.
Typically.
Tom's thought is, don't use the water.
But it still could pick up sediment all throughout the system.
Yeah.
Not just that.
So we have ladderboards, signboards out in the major streets, Main Street, Putnam Ave.
Which are not very pleasant.
But they're not giving a lot of info. So
no.
Where, you know, I mean, if it's a specific neighborhood, like the presidential streets, you can have a sign placed there for 2 days that you're flushing there. And then it could say, you know, see Ketua Water website for information about what you should do.
Right. Well, if it is reduced water use, couldn't the sign just say that? Say flushing for the next 2 days, please reduce water use. More information. You only get so much on a sign. But
everybody has to go in and out one way in that neighborhood. So
don't the signs just say now, they just say flushing.
Flushing.
Right? And I don't think, I think very few people understand what that means.
Yeah, I think it says flushing 9 to 4, and then
most people
it says the water department.
What is that? Or okay, what do I do?
Or something at the bottom.
So I think something.
And it's more than just, you know, reduce your use. It's you don't want to draw that dirty water into your hot water tank. So it's don't do dishes, don't wash white clothes, don't do. And all of that is in the postings online. Obviously, you can't get all of that on a sandwich board. And
no.
JR does have it looks kind of like a construction sign. It's got the bright orange reflective tape across the top that says flushing in this area that he does bring with him.
He does.
Mobily, yep.
So Bill doesn't tell people what they should do.
Right.
Maybe it's a question for Chris. Excuse me. Ask Chris to suggest what should go on. What's the message?
Yeah.
I mean,
can you leaflet the houses?
Yeah.
And how to get the message?
Sure.
What is it? And how to get help?
You know what
we best
do? We can do an every door direct mailing.
This is a bad analogy, but when people do spraying for pesticides, they notify people and they. I don't know if you do leaflets or not, but that's something like that, I think, is what's missing. Like, we got to tell them what to do, what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's like very unclear, I think.
So I don't quite understand the mechanics. You say gates, so I was thinking about people that are Oregon. So if the gate is at Loop Beach that covers all of Oregon, then we know only those people past Loop are going to be affected for this day or two.
Right. Right.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
No. So they usually start at the well fields and work their way out. Because you got to have a clean source before you can have clean water in your system. So once those are done, they may, you know, shut down this gate and open this gate, which redirects the flow of water. So it may be clean today and dirty tomorrow because it's pushing that water through your... It could kick up sediment. Our district is so small, it could kick up sediment anywhere in the district. And the day that lady on Old Post Road had trouble, we weren't even flushing.
And I'm wondering, you know,
so we weren't even flushing that day.
Correct.
So I'm wondering, but it was during our flushing season, so we were flushing. We had been flushing.
So when is our district-wide mailing closest to April 1st? January?
Why do we have to do it when people are all of a sudden showing up? Why couldn't we do it when people are leaving?
That's definitely a question for Chris.
Might be
earlier in the season. Like, I think comm starts theirs in February.
Yeah.
Sounds like it might be beneficial, at least for me, and I'm gathering for all of us.
Maybe Chris come.
Well, education for
my guess is this is a pretty technical hydrodynamic system thing that
pipes and pumps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And none of us, including myself, have that kind of engineering background to understand exactly how this works. So I think it would be good to have Chris give us a real brief explanation of this. It's really be helpful to me.
I'll put it on the agenda.
And come with some recommendations on what the message is, what the message to the neighborhood should be. Is it reduced? If so, for how long? Can we put hours on it, like 9 to 5 for the next 2 days? I think that's what people need to know. Does that make sense?
What they should do in the household.
What they
take a shower the night before because it's going to be dirty in the morning. I mean, it's an inconvenience once a year. It doesn't affect everybody equally. I don't think I've ever had a problem with it.
Yeah.
So.
No.
But there must be hot spots.
Yeah, sure.
Chris probably knows in his head
where probably the dead ends,
right? Where those hot spots are. Maybe we should make an extra effort. The good news is we don't have to figure it out now for another 10 months.
Is it pretty much done? No?
They're done. It was intended to go through June 30th.
One of our FY20 goals is to figure out the best method of informing the users what to do and when.
And perhaps the best method for flushing as well, and look at other, other windows.
Seasonal issues, education issues.
But it might be good to have this discussion. It doesn't have to be at the next meeting, but fairly soon while it's fresh in our minds. Because otherwise, it's going to be March, and we'll be going, what about flushing?
Yeah.
We're going to put that on the agenda for the next meeting.
Okay.
This commission gets things done, Horsley.
Good. Glad to see it.
We don't wait till March.
Okay.
We let them drag just long enough, and then we do an action.
Anything else on superintendent's report?
Yeah.
Any other questions about superintendent? So we have some old business, the rate increase feedback. I have this email from Mr. Blackman that I responded to and Jen responded to. And I don't know if you guys received this.
I mean, it's the kind of thing I would be expecting to see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's fair to say it disadvantageous full-time residents. It disadvantageous heavy water uses.
I question that as well, but I can get into those weeds with him.
And he can question the district tax going down. You know, that's been discussed publicly. It's going to go down based on the water subsidy. It may not go down because of other district needs. The meter fees for the stabilization. It is for special projects, absolutely. And the voters have now adopted it, so went through a legislative public process.
Unanimous.
Thanks to our chairman. And then, so I think he's just got a lot of free-floating anxiety about doubling the rates. And I think we should be clear that it is going to be a sticker shock, and I think we've said that, and it's incumbent on people to modify their behavior if they're really, you know, strung out about it.
If we wanted to make some tweaks to the water rates over, I don't know what the time period is, over the next year, based upon feedback and stuff we're getting and further discussion, how difficult of a process is it to do that? Is this something that can be done in a couple of meetings?
It's really up to us.
Do we need to hire another consultant and do another stuff? No.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think we can. We set the rates.
Because it's my sense that, based upon what we talked about before, some people might argue the rate should be lower. Other people, including myself, might say the rate should be higher. So having that discussion in a good forum and tweaking the rates again seems to me like a reasonable thing. I mean, I don't know how long the last time they changed? How long
the rates? 15 years.
15 years. This is the first change in 15 years.
Yep.
I mean, I get where this guy's coming from, but, you know, I agree that it's probably way overdue, the rate change. It's still $30 a year. It's a joke. I guess what I'm trying to say is it strikes me that it might be, and I'm also thinking of Seth and other businesses, all the things we're talking about, maybe there's a time this year to consider some tweaks to the rates and not wait another 15 years.
Well, I don't think we have to wait 15 years, but I think we need a year under our belt to see the impact. I don't think we should start tweaking it yet.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, we spent a lot of time on this.
Yes, yeah.
It was grounded on really good analysis by Ted and Howard.
Yeah.
They really drilled down on every single cost to fund the department. How much was fire department related to water? How much was households?
So what would be a good time for them to take it up next year, next spring?
Get it done any time.
Yeah.
Seems to me that when we're setting our budget next spring, maybe that's the time.
Okay.
We still won't have 4 years of data.
We still won't have, right. The last excess bill comes in June.
But we will have more grossing by then to consider.
So the first minimum use bill in the new structure will go out in September, and then we'll read meters at the first week in January, and those bills will go out mid-January. So it'll be right around budget time that those first bills go out.
Yeah, I mean, we may have people with pitchforks here at some point this year. So welcome, Mr. Horst.
I was hoping it'd be exciting.
We'll see.
We need some more people in this room.
I mean, the majority of the feedback that we've received has been very positive.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So they get
okay,
their
good
support. Yeah.
Because knowledgeable folks know that we've been giving away water too long.
So I think with respect to this email and his points are well made, I think, you know. I have some question as to whether or not full-time residents are going to be disadvantaged more than the part-timers. I think a lot of our part-timers are probably the ones that use more water than anyone else. But that's just my gut. I don't have data to support that. And I think we need to see how it shakes out. I agree with Commissioner Robinson. But, you know, we've got to let the rate change take effect. Our goal was not to burden the ratepayers. It was not to cause them to use less water. Our goal was to pay for the districts.
That might be a side effect. The side effect might be less water use.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the goal. The goal was to fund the department on the rates as much as possible.
So, and we need to make sure we do that.
And to make the tier pricing burdensome for really heavy users. Mm-hmm. So,
is this guy, is there another response that goes back to this guy, you think? You mentioned to bring it up at the meeting. Do we need to?
I think if Jen and Tom have responded.
Okay.
Yeah, we've responded.
I think we wait to hear from him.
He responded back and said, thanks for the information.
Okay.
I understand this more clearly. Seems I missed this year's annual district meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he quite understood that we have that anyway.
Right.
But
Tom has a wonderful video he can watch.
Right. Yeah. I did. I sent him the link to all of the information.
All that. I didn't watch it. Is the quality okay?
Yeah, it's really good.
It's not echoey?
It's not echoey. You can't really see the presentation because it's a little blown out because of the light, but the document is everything that he has there is attached. Okay. So.
Good. All right, new business. Moving on to new business, where we have elect the chairman, determine the policy advisor, and the bylaw committee.
Mr. Chairman,
prior to doing that, I would just like to say that I think what we did this year was very effective. I think that having a year to see how the process goes and then spending a year as chairperson was very, I enjoyed it. And it was a good education for me. I don't really want to do it anymore. I don't really want to do it again. I think if we're on 3-year rotations and there's three of us, to me it makes sense that we rotate through.
It's way too early for me, so let's see.
It makes perfect sense for the chair with the most knowledge to be continuing in that capacity.
But again, we're all elected officials. We're all on equal ground. And having gone through it as a second year commissioner, and it really didn't do too much damage to me. I enjoyed it. I learned from it. I don't know that I'll be on the board next year. I don't know if I'd get elected again. I mean, right? You don't know. And so, to me, it was a good experience having Don on board to kind of bounce things off of. As a prior chair, and he didn't have to do all the chairman's responsibilities, which really isn't that much.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion.
Yes.
And we elect Mark Harlow Robinson as the next chair of the two water commissioners.
Would you like to discuss that?
I second the motion.
I'll second.
Well, for discussion purposes.
I second the motion.
I'm like you. I'm working full time still. Reason here at 5:30 because I'm leaving Brewster 5 minutes early to get here. So it's hard. I don't know how much extra time I can devote, but I'll arm wrestle it for.
It seems as though you spend more time on it now than I do anyway.
Well, only because Jen sets things up, so all I have to do is make a quick response.
Which is
email.
Awesome.
And I know you can't really do that during the day.
No.
I can.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of the boss.
I'm tied up.
So.
And that has been a difficult, I mean, I felt like, oh, geez, maybe I should check in and see what's going on, and I haven't been able to do that. I don't know if that's been a problem.
No. We'll call you if we need to.
Things have worked.
So you're really
making a play for
all right. I'll do it.
For you to be the chairperson. Good. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Good.
I'm much better as a gadfly on the outside.
So Scott, you know what that means for you next year, right?
See what happens. I'll talk to my campaign manager.
I think it's a good kind of system.
But
to
there
work
were
for.
Chairmen that lasted more than a year.
Yeah, and the Prudential Committee does that. I think the Fire Committee does that.
Well, we're good that we all get along.
But we all get along.
Yeah. So.
You know, and I'll certainly do whatever I can to help whenever I can.
Yeah. Well, you know, procedurally, I would want some help. You and Chris and Jen, so
mm-hmm.
You know things like bids. I don't know what bids.
We learn as we go.
Yep.
It's
me too.
It's an adaptive management
yep.
Concept. Works. So then, policy advisory committee and bylaw subcommittee. You have a preference. Both
You have to be on one page.
Both of them meet occasionally.
Is this a meeting with the Prudential Committee?
And they're made up of members from each of the elected boards.
So the bylaw committee
and some at large
that I sat on met 2 times for 10 minutes each
over the year
to consider one new change to the bylaws.
No, I remember that was a discussion.
Which was out.
What does the policy committee do?
No idea.
So they both have to meet at least once in the fiscal year.
And this is of the Prudential?
No,
it's for the district. So policy advisory for the district and bylaw committee for the district.
So
it's made up of fire, water, and Prudential.
And then two members at large.
At-large of the village. Hmm.
So my first year, I was on the bylaw subcommittee, and we met 3 times, I think. And we had no bylaw changes.
All right, I'll be on the bylaw. I'll volunteer for the bylaw committee.
You'll be the bylaw committee.
I want Mr. Horsley for the bylaw committee.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
And I will be happy to take care of the policy advisory committee.
Second that.
I was just going to say policy advisory in the past, like last year when there was a change to the Family Sick Leave Act and that kind of thing. They discussed things like that at policy advisory.
Okay.
So it has been discussed.
Not the paid family medical leave, but last year when they voted in making the sick leave policy universal to the district.
So that's good.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
I think that concludes any business for the night. We have a next meeting date and time. Now that we have a new chairperson, we may want to reconsider.
So the reason we went to 5:30 was to accommodate me, thinking I had a 7 o'clock meeting on the same Wednesday.
Correct.
The Wednesday night's good for you, typically. When do you teach?
Wednesdays are good, and I like this time, 5:30 or even maybe a little earlier.
That's hard for you. It's too much of my work.
Now you have an evening meeting, a 7 o'clock meeting. It's tricky to get to. You have a lot of evening meetings.
Yeah, but I'm going to say 5:45 is more reasonable for me.
Okay.
So I can get here a little bit before I sit down.
And I'm good with getting here early and helping Chris or Jan or whoever's here set up.
So as my first official act as chair, I'm going to say 5:45 p.m. on the third Wednesday of the month.
Which would be the 19th.
19th of July, yeah. Okay.
So along with our earlier discussion, we will repost the bid and have the bid opening that Monday, the 17th, so that will be on your agenda again for the 19th to award it. I'm sorry, that's July 17th. July 17th is the Wednesday. So the bid opening will be July 15th.
17th.
And the contract would be in effect. We would have to make it the 18th. The current one goes through July 16th, so we may be 1 day without a contractor, but we should be okay with that.
July 15th will be the opening?
July 15th will be the bid opening, and the 17th will be a meeting.
And I think we need to try to get those bids out to a wider array of contractors.
Is there an industry publication?
Chris may know. He mentioned something to me about
it. Was a Cape Cod and Islands Association for everything.
To get it out there to a broader.
Cutters or anything.
Currently, we post it in the legal notices of the Cape Cod Times, so there's got to be something better. I mean, both online and in the print, but
there's like, our construction, LNH, there's a few of them around that do that kind of work. I don't know if they ever did.
No. Not in the 5 years I've been here.
Well, as long as we have two, it makes some competition.
We might not get one from Borderline. They made it. I mean, clear, verbally anyways, that if probably not going to be participating.
Because they don't think they can lower the money further?
I think they're just...
Your math.
Yeah.
Well, now they've shown their hands.
Right.
They each know what the other one's bidding.
They would say that, other than just to make it a difficult decision for us to have done what we did.
Huh.
Right? Like, take our bid now.
Oh,
we're
minute,
taking
line.
our ball, and going home. Because they were 20,000 less than Rockford.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
All right. That concludes our night. Take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. You'll be fine. You'll be great. You're so much better.
You're
than
blindsided me.
Stuff
you should have
I
told
am.
Me ahead of time. I could have thought of some good reasons. I do like
that's
working.
What I was concerned.
I do like working with the staff.
They're good people.